whispers in your ear. How many in here have ever heard God whisper in your ear? Whether it be in word or deed, whether it be in feeling, whether it be in thought, whether it be something that God has spoken. You see, it's easy for us today to see and hear that this message of Scripture from the prophet Isaiah is speaking of the Messiah who is yet to come. So you and I today have the advantage of the gospel message and knowing the whole story. So you and I have the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we've heard the story. We have been there. We've heard it. And I hope and pray that you'll read it again this week if you don't have the opportunity to go somewhere and hear it. That you know the story. But I seriously doubt that those who first heard or read Isaiah were so easy to convince because they were of a different time and a different generation. This Messiah was something they were talking about yet to come. That's going to come in the future. You see, Isaiah's words do not fit into the mainline Jewish theology of the day, of his day, of that day and time. But most Jewish people would have looked upon such ill treatment as punishment for some known or unknown sin. If somebody was going to have something happen to them like that, like the ears pulled out of your beard, like the spitting upon, the contentment, the talking, the anguish, the pain, they said, what have you done? There's got to be some kind of sin. You, this attitude servant was new to them. If not even a foreign idea, why would anybody suffer and die? Why would anybody have that put upon them? You see, Isaiah prefaces this passage today with the explanation that what he is saying comes directly from God. Four times in the Scripture, Isaiah invokes the power of the Holy Spirit through God. We don't have the Holy Spirit yet, but we talk about God. He says, he invokes the powerful name of God. He calls it out. He says, Adonai, sovereign Lord, authority to this message. He says, God has spoken. God has spoken. Whatever meaning Isaiah's first hearers of the word may have drawn from this passage, the real meaning was yet to be revealed years to come to them and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who suffered all those horrible indignities. He was spat upon and he was insulted. Yet he was steadfast in his purpose, his task before us. He had set his face like flint, it says in God's Word today. Jesus was confident of the ultimate because God, Adonai, had whispered. You see, no doubt today that Jesus was familiar with this passage from Isaiah because Jesus was a deeply learned individual and learned in the Scriptures of old. And when Jesus went to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, very early in his ministry, Jesus read to the congregation that day, to the people assembled there before him. He read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It was handed to him. And we read those words in Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 19. And Jesus was there amongst his hometown people. And he stood up and he took that scroll and he unrolled it. It was set before him and he said to them, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see, Jesus turned His face toward Jerusalem, knowing that He was going into a hostile environment. And He had already warned His disciples of the coming conflict and also of His imminent death. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that He was going in this place and it was going to be tough. It was going to be a tough crowd. He told His disciples, you need to be ready because it's not going to be easy. And He also, guess what? Remember what I've been telling you all along? I'm going to die. And when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, He knew what lay ahead. Jesus was greeted with dignity and adulation. People were just praising Him. They were bowing down. They were throwing and waving palm branches. They were putting their coats in the street. They were laying their cloaks down before them. And guess what? He knew. He knew that day what lay ahead. But He was greeted with all that. His followers were encouraged by the fine reception that He received. All those people that were following Jesus, they said, look, they love Him. Look at all the things that are happening. But Jesus, however, was not the superficial festivities that were going on. It was a mockery. It was a mockery of what was going on that day. There was people in that group that already had it worked out against Him. And they were fixing to make it come true. But you know, Jesus knew. Jesus had read the book of the prophet Isaiah, the scroll. He knew. The Lord had whispered in His ear. He knew what was going to happen. You see, He knew the suffering and death that lay ahead of Him, but He was not swayed from His purpose because He had word from on high. He had word from His Father. He had word from on high. Jesus must have drawn comfort that day from His knowledge of the lonely struggle of Isaiah's suffering servant. As Jesus sought to survive with His integrity intact in a hostile environment. You see, Jesus could have done a lot of things that day. If He had been fully human with all the things that you and I do, when He would have been attacked for the things that He was preaching and teaching, what would you and I do? We would be hurt. We would be offended. We would get upset. We'd probably strike back. But Jesus knew what was ahead of Him. He knew the things that they were doing. He knew all that work that was going on behind the scenes. And He still stayed. He didn't flee and run from the situation. He stayed. And He said, guess what? I'm here. I'm here. You see, Jesus is best known to you and me as what? As our Savior and our Lord. There are many theological understandings of exactly what that means. The very essence of our salvation in Jesus Christ is not dependent on our theological correctness. Oh, no, no. It's not that's not the thing that's going to draw us in if we know the theology. If we're correct in everything we think and believe, oh, no. But guess what it's based on? It's based on our simple faith in His having acted on our behalf. You see, Jesus acted on our behalf. Still does. He didn't do it one time. He continues to do it each and every day. He acted on our behalf. Isaiah's suffering servant, whose identity is made known to us in Jesus, is a proper model for us in our own personal struggles to survive sufferings and insults, some of which come to all of us. Various times, various places, it comes to all of us. But you see, the key to suffering without the loss of integrity and faith is not to be found in conventional wisdom regarding power. Oh no. It is not by worldly power and strength. It is not by unusual stamina. The power to endure to the very end is given to those who have heard, yet once again, in their ear. You see, the besieged suffering servant is a source of encouragement to the weary. Have you ever been tired and weary and worn out? Have faith. Have hope. Our encouragement comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One would think that little energy would be left to consider the needs of others. But there is great power in even a wordless one who is obviously in touch with God. It's how you live your life. It's how you live yours and I live mine. It's how we live our life that counts. A wordless witness with someone who is obviously in touch with God. See, you can see that. You can see the people who are in touch with God, and you can see the people who are in touch with the devil. And they're out there, and you need to know who they are. You need to know, and you need to say, okay, I know your testimony. I know your faith. I know your strength. And that's how we are known. We have all seen people, and we may be some of those people. who have suffered great hardship, who have endured great pain, both physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and who have suffered harsh insults. But you see, the survivors are those who have seen Jesus and have heard God whispering in their ear. Those who have seen Jesus and have heard God whispering in their ear. And my one word for you today, as we leave this place, is to listen. Let us pray. Lord, may you open up our hearts and our minds always to what is going on with us, to hear those things, to be cognizant of all that. But Lord, in so doing, be mindful always of who is doing the talking. Be mindful always of who is whispering in our ears. To know, Lord, that hope and that faith and that word that comes by only knowing you. To know, Lord, that it is you always that is there. You, Lord, who opens up our day each morning with the newness of life. It is you, Lord, who is with us throughout that day, and is you, Lord, who is with us when we say our prayers before we rest our heads each night. So, Lord, remind us of that still small voice. Remind us of those words of listening when God whispers in our ear, when God opens up our hearts and our minds to see Him once again and to hear that word of hope, that word of encouragement, that word that comes by knowing. And Lord, when we know, we know. So Lord, this day remind us of that knowledge that we know within our heart that is you. That we know within our heart that is you. And know, Lord, like the folks of the Old Testament who were hearing this from the prophet Isaiah, that it was so odd and new and different, and they knew that it couldn't be right. But yet, some of them believed and some of them had the faith for generations to come, for generations to come, till one day they finally were able to be a part of that great kingdom, that great and mighty kingdom known to us by your Son, our Savior. So, Lord, for this day we thank you. We thank you always for giving us that power. And remind us, Lord, that all we have to do is listen. Amen.